Something else?
Well, I did have one or two more. I wanted to ask, because it was just something I grew up with, so I don't understand it fully, but I wanted to ask, like, about Pran Pratishtha. Like, why do we have such a formal process if Krishna can choose to appear in a deity? So if you're serving the deity lovingly...
Because Krishna doesn't appear in a deity. Krishna is the deity.
Okay. So does that mean that all... So then why do we have such, like... Why do we have Pran Pratishtha then? If it's life-flowing into the deity, why do we have that if he is the deity?
Krishna is the deity because Krishna is non-different in his form.
So then why do we still do Pran Pratishtha?
We do Pran Pratishtha because many people, or at least Kanishtha Adhikaris, materialistic people, they don't have faith in the eternal nature of Krishna's form and Krishna's unlimited potencies. So they think that if you do some kind of rituals, then that will really, then Krishna will really be present. And if you don't do those rituals, then Krishna is not present. Srila Prabhupada explains that in the Bhagavatam when he's talking about the installation of Krishna Balaram, where they invited so many Brahmins, Yagic Brahmins, and South Indian Brahmins, and local Brijbashi Brahmins to do the installation, because if they didn't, then people would criticize. What Prabhupada said, actually, just Sankirtan was enough. In other words, devotee's pure inspiration, this is the yajna for this age, yajna Sankirtana prayer, more or less, that's all that's required. Sufficient to establish a link or connection with Krishna, in a contract that, yes, Krishna will accept Krishna's present in his deity form. And now installing that deity form really just means now Krishna is willing to accept such and such standard of devotion, and the devotees also make a commitment or a contract to establish that standard of devotion. Otherwise, those other things are not so much necessary. Why do we have to, why do we take vows at the time of initiation? Because it's meant to emphasize on the initiates the importance of sticking with the basic principles of Krishna consciousness. Otherwise, the only person you ask to tell the truth is a liar. Otherwise, why do you? It's already an insult to tell someone, well, no, you got to tell me the truth. So, we do Pran Pratishtha for the benefit of others. And devotees also have their own pure Vaishnavas. They also see it as a way of pleasing Krishna, in inviting Krishna. It's also an exchange of devotion. But they don't particularly see that, well, before Krishna wasn't in the deity, and now Krishna is in the deity. They always see Krishna is in the deity form. But they perform those type of Vaishnava rituals, just like we do for puja and so on, as a means of self-purification, as a means of glorifying Krishna, as a means of attracting more attention to him. And not just Pran Pratishtha, but whole yajna and so on. It's also nice when Krishna did Govardhan Hill, he told the Brijmasters, invite the Brahmins, perform fire yajna. So in the strict sense of the word, the fire yajna is not necessary to worship Krishna, but it's also part of our tradition. So, yes, it's nice to do that, but it's what the consciousness is that you're doing it with. Not the consciousness that, well, by doing this yajna, therefore Giri Raj becomes a person. Mm. He's already a person. And the proof of that was that he was already there before the yajna. No, he appeared after the yajna. In that big, gigantic form. But in any case, they didn't think, oh yes, Govardhan Hill is just a mountain, and then later on he became a person by the sacrifice. He's always a person. Something else. Yeah, so that's how something becomes sort of a dry ritual, that originally it had a pure devotional theme to it. But when people lose their Krishna consciousness, then they lose the understanding, and they only end up seeing the external. And they lose perspective of the internal. Sort of that's what Hinduism is. Yeah. Hinduism is maintaining the external rituals of Sanatana Dharma, but actually forgetting all of its real essence, which is Krishna. There's no Sanatana Dharma without Krishna. So that's why it's important in Krishna consciousness and in religious life that people actually stick to practices and cultivate their Krishna consciousness, cultivate their spiritual life. Without really cultivating your spiritual life, then people become materialists. So, and that's not in terms of just Hinduism, but we see in so many religions, the real substance is gone, and all that's left is the external form. And then people become material in consciousness, and the different religions start fighting against each other because they see the difference in the external form, and they no longer see the oneness of the substance, that actually it's all about pleasing God, and there's no issue to fight over. And then these type of ideas come up. Well, yes, I'm working, so I'm performing my duty, and if I just think, yes, I'm offering this to Krishna, then it's offered to Krishna. It's a fairy tale. You get more or less nothing. Certainly you don't get the type of benefit that's going to actually free someone from their past karma and purify their heart in order to enable them to go back to Godhead. So it really, to go back to Godhead, to attain that perfection, you really need to become freed from the results of past deeds, and that requires only devotional service actually attains that. Only through devotional service can you attain that. You can't attain it actually through jnana or yoga. That won't free you from your prarabdha karma. And so in the fourth canto it is said, but now I forget the quote. So even the Gyanis can't, or the yogis, perfect yogis, they can't overcome the effects of their past sinful acts. Mm. So this type of sort of superstitious approach to spiritual life is just another type of materialism, but it doesn't get any real substantial result. The substantial result will come when people chant Hare Krishna, when they surrender to Krishna, when they study Shastra, associate with sadhus, worship deities. These are things that purify the heart. Otherwise, Bhagajanma Koti Shravana Kirtana, you can take that many lifetimes. Okay. Do the offering.
Is it particularly in this age that is Lord Chaitanya that reciprocates with the devotee? Because particularly in the age of Kali, or does it depend on, you know, who the devotee specifically address, whether they pray specifically to Lord Chaitanya or Krishna, even though they're the same personality? So, in terms of reciprocation, how does it work?
Yeah. So you pray to Lord Nishinadev, and Lord Nishinadev, Krishna is Lord Nishinadev, reciprocate. Worship Lord Chaitanya, Krishna is Lord Chaitanya, reciprocates. Worship Krishna, if he reciprocates. We worship more than just one form of Krishna. We worship Jagannath, and we worship Shrinidhi, and we worship Lord Chaitanya, and we worship Krishna. So they're one, but at the same time, they're also different, and particularly they do different things. Lord Chaitanya gives love of God easily, Krishna doesn't. Lord Nishingadev gives protection to his devotees. All forms of the Lord give protection, but particularly that's a feature in which Krishna comes to protect his devotees. And and Jagannath comes out on the street whereas others don't.
One thing I didn't understand is like, in chapter 2, I can't remember, in Bhagavad Gita, it talked briefly about the mind and the sense objects. And I can't remember, I think it was talking about where it's seated. But I wanted to ask, like, why is the mind so attractive to sense objects? Like, what is that relationship between them?
That lust is seated within the senses. The mind and the senses.
But then, why is the mind supposedly so attracted to sense objects?
Because it's conditioned. Because we have desires for enjoyment, and the sense objects are the instruments with which you enjoy. And the mind is the radar that scans material energy for how to connect senses with sense objects. And due to the attachment that it has, if there's no attachment, then it doesn't. It's like a radar. It runs on electricity, you pull the plug, it doesn't do anything. So, same way, as long as there's material desire, then the mind, wherever it looks, whatever it hears, everything immediately connects to how can I enjoy. So that's when the mind's out of control. When the mind comes under control, or when the one actually has developed attachment to Krishna, then the mind becomes a good instrument, because then it looks how to engage everything in Krishna's service, which is again done with the senses. And it's again sense objects. It's just now, rather than using sense objects to satisfy my desires, I use sense objects to satisfy Krishna's desires. So that's why Krishna says, Banduratmatma Sasana Jainatmaivatma Chita. So the mind is both a friend and an enemy. The first one has to conquer the mind, therefore without mind control you can't get anywhere in spiritual life. So that's what yoga means. Yoga means to bring senses and the mind under control. First you bring the senses under control, they're easier to control. That's why you have regulations. And then you purify the heart, and as one becomes free from desire, then the mind naturally becomes less and less lusty. But still, Krishna says, even though avyasena vairagena agriyate, even though when as soon as you find your mind wandering, you bring it back. And then there's one very practical time when we practice that is when we chant japa. To try and fix your mind for 2 hours just on Krishna's holy name. When you do that for 2 hours without interruption, then that's pretty good, and that's a good sign. It's a good sign that you could do it at other times. And then the most difficult times when you're sleeping. But the mind is still under control. But vairagyana griyate, so Krishna says, avyasena vairagyana. If you're determined to it, that means you're detached from sense enjoyment. And you practice, that's what sadhana means, abhyas. Then it will happen. So ultimately, our business is to bring the mind under control, because that's only a short time that the senses will be controlled. Otherwise, sort of artificial control of the senses, but the mind still raging out of control, then that's a very insecure position to be in.
Yeah, but then, I don't know if the example really applies to this, but, like, you know, Vamsidas Babaji, there was a story where there was, like, a fisherman, and even, like, it was after he'd grown older, and he was practicing for such a long time, he still ran after the fish.
Ran after the fish means what?
Like, he still wanted to eat the fish, even after such a long time of practicing with the yoga.
I don't know about the story, but Vamsidas Babaji is a liberated soul. So if a liberated soul wants to eat fish, that they can do that, but you can't imitate them. Although I don't. I read the little book, but I never heard that. But even given that, Krishna danced with other people's wives, so can you dance with other people's wives? So it's not a matter of practicing bhakti yoga, he's already perfect. So what perfect people do is their business. But we're not perfect, so you can't imitate that. There may be many examples of what liberated souls do. So it's not that because he was practicing bhakti yoga for so long, he was still running after fish. But if you don't practice bhakti yoga properly, then you'll run after fish and so many other things. He's already a certified liberated soul.
Practical question. When the mind is disturbed by maybe, you know, past samskaras that, you know, even as good or bad activity that one's done in previous lives and this life, what is the main sort of practical solution to deal with it? Is it mainly to ignore it and try and tolerate it, be patient, and obviously in time, you know, the purification of knowledge, association.
Yeah, Krishna says, avyasena griyat, avyasa vairagina. So, there's two things. We should expect that we've done a lot of things in the material world, and those impressions are there. They're very deep-rooted. So, things may come out through the mind, you don't even know where it's coming from. Just because you don't have memory of it in this lifetime, and it's coming out. So one has to be tolerant. One has to be dedicated to the idea that, yes, I'm going to persevere. And then one has to continue practicing devotional service. So we try to, Krishna says, drag the mind away from the sense objects and fix it on the self. So fix it on our service, fix it on Krishna's holy name, just like you do when you're chanting japa.
And is it like the sort of like Maya actually tests you, the more one maybe advances, they want to sort of implant more obstacles to see how the devotee reacts on the mind?
Well, it's like there's, you know, there's a gravitational field in this world, and as long as you got some metal on you, it's going to be attracted. When you don't have any metal, then there's nothing to be attracted. So, same thing, my Devi is everywhere. And as long as there's material attachment, then that compass is going to show, it's going to point in her direction. If you don't have any metal, therefore our fingers chaitadatta marjanam to cleanse the heart. If the heart's clean, then it doesn't matter how much maya is there. It's not that Haridas Thakur was attracted or he had anything to overcome. So even then my Devi personally came, it doesn't make any difference to him. So if there's if there's no metal, it doesn't matter how strong the magnetic field is on the plastic, it won't do anything. You can have as strong as you want. There's just no connection between the two. So when there's no desire to be independent from Krishna, and actually when then one becomes actually surrendered to Krishna, then my Devi doesn't have an effect. She doesn't want to have an effect.
But say if we pray to, say Lord Nityananda, to be free from, these material attachments. I mean, sometimes these prayers, at least for me, it seems like, I really try hard to be sincere about it, but these prayers somehow may come out to be, almost mechanical sometimes.
That's right. Yeah. It's not what is the developed standard to be mechanical, but you start off with being mechanical. And if you do it and do it and try to do it better, then it will come. So that's called vidhi. We do things mechanically, and then gradually it develops. So many things you don't necessarily have a taste for, but by practicing it comes. So that's Indian culture, just like Indian culture principle is girl and boy learn how to love each other, whereas the Western culture is you fall in love and then afterwards you fall out of love. But whereas there, if you don't fall in love, you're just directed, and by astrological chart, material compatibility is there, and then over time you just learn how to become attached. That's a much more safer investment. So similarly, in Krishna consciousness, we learn how to love Krishna, and we learn by actually first doing duty, which means you perform devotional activities out of a sense of duty, not so much out of attachment, but because if I don't do this, I'm going to go to hell. Or if I don't do this, I'm going to suffer. Or I know this is the right thing to do, even if I don't have a desire. I'm just sort of inquisitive about it. It sounds interesting. Okay.
What if this opposition making, say, of the devotee, hits a break wall, or comes to like a particular situation where they need to make a judgment, and sort of like a grey area of what should be done in a particular situation. How does the devotee, try and work out what pleases Krishna the most? I mean, do they, I suppose, seek senior devotee association and advice? Is that the best way?
So they're going to bump into a lot of brick walls in life, because easy decisions aren't really decisions. The real decisions are the difficult ones. And sometimes when you don't know what to do, then it's best not to do anything. And devotees can give advice. On the other hand, one needs to make up one's own mind, because ultimately you're going to live the results of your decision, not someone else. So, others can only show you a path or show you an alternative. But yes, our own personal reflection on something, guidance from advanced devotees, then they help us to do the right thing. But the right thing is never easy, and the right thing is not going to be pain-free. So if we're looking for pain-free solutions in life, forget it. Especially in Krishna consciousness, you're going to get more and more painful, because the whole pain means attachment. And if you want a pain-free or a renunciation-free surrender to Krishna, it doesn't exist. Ultimately, it hurts. That's why they have to keep going forward. And then one needs the spiritual conviction and the spiritual strength to be able to tolerate that hurt. Yeah, so it hurt Arjuna to fight. It isn't that all of a sudden you just go, well, yeah, okay, now I'm in a good mood. And so it hurt him to do the things that he had to do. But he did it because he knew it was the right thing to do. Okay. When are you going back?
Leaving on Tuesday.
Tuesday. Yeah. I'm leaving on Sunday. Sunday evening. Anyway, that was good that you came. I encourage the devotees to come visit.
I was actually inspired by this audience, Kesha Bharati Maharaj, because I'm actually from Hong Kong. I'm studying Birmingham at the moment in university. And I went back just for 3 weeks in May, and Maharaj actually visited Hong Kong for 1 week.
Yeah.
So I was fortunate enough to have the association and shared a lot of, you know, Navraj.
Navraj Maharaj.
Yeah. And showed us pictures, so I was re-inspired, and, you know, he said if I get a chance, I should go, because the UK to Hungary is very close.
Yeah, it was good that you came, and when Courtney Otai wrote that, then I think he may have even mentioned you to me that maybe you would come. Yeah, it was good that you came. Yeah, lots of the woods in Birmingham. And, yeah, you can just invite him to come, see, visit. It's a big trip going to India, but yeah, this is easier. It requires less of a investment, less of a commitment, and at the same time have the opportunity to really sort of disconnect from Birmingham, of all places, and connect there with Krishna in a real peaceful atmosphere, Vrindavan atmosphere. Okay, so I'll let you go to have breakfast. And then
thank you very much,
see you later on.